Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvata Deva Gauravani Pracharine Vishesha Shunyavadi Paschakti Desha Taine. The original and the counterfeit, or the genuine and the counterfeit. When we think of counterfeit, we usually think of counterfeit bank notes. Some 25 years ago or so, I was engaged in printing Srila Prabhupada's books in Thailand. Our printer one day told us that, one of my friends, he got caught printing banknotes. Unlucky. He was unlucky. He got caught printing counterfeit banknotes. We generally think of that, but the genuine banknote is the one issued by the government, and the counterfeit one is one printed at some printer not authorized by the government. But actually the government banknote is also cheating. The first country to issue paper money was Britain, and the British currency is pounds, right? 1 pound. They give you a piece of paper. Now that's become a coin, 1 pound coin. But why is it called 1 pound? Well, 1 pound is a measure of weight. Originally, the bank note was tradable against 1 pound of gold. It was as they say, look, you take, instead of carrying around this pound of gold, which is very valuable and heavy and dangerous, you carry around this note, this piece of paper. So, okay. And any time you can go and trade it for 1 pound of gold. But nowadays 1 ounce of gold, which is 1/16 of a pound, is, I don't know, it must be at least 500 pounds. So somewhere along the line they started cheating. That it's no longer worth a pound. It's just a little less than a pound. And then gradually. So it's cheating. What we're talking about here is cheating. Has anyone here ever been cheated before? Everyone's been cheated. And as we get older, we get cheated more, because cheating, what does that mean? Cheating means someone awakens our trust and then they misuse that trust to exploit us. No one likes to be cheated. What do you feel like when you realize you've been cheated? You want to beat that person, isn't it? You feel very bad. Oh, that, because you put your trust, it's a matter of faith. And then you discover, oh, you've been cheated. I don't know now, but like 20 years ago or so, it was quite common that in Hong Kong, people used to go there for shopping. You get cheap electrical items, and the merchants in the shop, they're selling it, and they'll ask the person, oh, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Australia. When are you going back? Oh, I've got to rush to the airport from here. My flight's in 2 hours. They say, okay, have a nice trip, and they pack it all up very nicely. And then when they get back to Australia, they find, they open the box and there's nothing in it. Just some, they stuffed it with paper. Because what do you, you're not going to fly, they know you're not going to fly back to Hong Kong and say, hey, look, you cheated me. So, but that's what they did, they cheated. So no one likes it, but what can you do? You've been cheated. On the other hand, we can't stop trusting people. Therefore, we're always open to be cheated. We have to trust some. You may say, I don't trust anyone, but at some level, you have to trust people. You can't have your food tested every time before you eat. Like some kings used to do that. They'd have people whose job was to eat the food before they ate it, just to test if someone was poisoning them. How about that for a job? You'd like to have that job? Risk your life? Eat the food. If it's poisoned, then the king finds out by you dying. That was your job. But still the king, even then the king has to trust someone. Because even after it's tested for not being poisoned, the person who serves it could deftly introduce some poison. So you have to trust someone. And as long as you trust people, then you're likely to be cheated, reliable to be cheated. And no one likes to be cheated. How do we react when we're cheated? You say, well, I want to beat that person, I want to kick him in the face and rip him to pieces. But on the other hand, you might not want to tell everyone I was cheated. Say, ha ha ha, you fool. Because on the other hand, it shows our own foolishness. That you trusted someone. It was our misjudgment that we trusted someone who was not trustworthy. So we don't like to tell others. And even in a, there may be court case you might not want to say because you don't want to reveal to others how foolish you are. That I believe this person. This person told me he was the son of a billionaire. And I believed him. And I married him. And it turned out that he doesn't have a brass dime to his name. He doesn't have a cent in his bank account. He doesn't have a bank account. I believed it. So people may not like to admit it, even to themselves, because we don't like to admit that we're being cheated. So what is our subject matter here? Original and counterfeit. Alright, so our proposition is that, yeah, everyone's being cheated. Everyone is being cheated. And the whole material world is a whole arena of cheating. Not only are we cheated out, you know, maybe you're cheated out of 1 lakh, 2 lakh, 10 lakhs. Or it may be, you know, just 10 rupees or something you give. In a crowded bus, you give 20 rupees. The conductor says, I'll give you the change later. And then he doesn't and you forget it. And then, oh, I got cheated of 15 rupees. And even that you don't feel very happy about. And then what if you're cheated of 15 lakhs, 20 lakhs? What if you're cheated of your whole life? That's our proposition, that the whole material world, everything is cheating. Our parents are cheating us. The government is cheating us. The educational system is cheating. Everything is cheating. It's such a big, colossal hoax that there's some other program going on now. What is this? There's talking going on now. So. There's girls, what? They have a simultaneous satsang on that side, is it? Yeah. They can come. Why? They're translating it there or what? Whatever. But it would be easier to concentrate if there wasn't talking there, although it's not impossible. So, the whole material world is cheating. Because we are from the very beginning, brought up to think that we can be happy in this world. Work hard, pass your exams, you'll get a good job and you'll be happy. But no one is happy, and everyone dies, and then you have to get born again. This, the whole nature of this material world is cheating. Advertising business is based on the fact that people like to be cheated. That people like to think that I'm getting something very good, very easily and very cheaply. You just buy this soap powder. You buy Surf soap powder. And then you'll be like the person in the advertisement who is so happy because they are wearing clothes washed in Surf. So everyone knows it's bogus that you don't become happy by wearing clothes washed in Surf. But it must have some effect. People accept it, otherwise they wouldn't buy it. Coca-Cola. Everyone knows that Coca-Cola is just some rubbish drink with absolutely no nutritional value. But they advertise, you drink it and then you see everyone in the advertisement happy. Oh, I also become like that. You know that there's nothing in Coca-Cola that's going to make you happy. But we buy it because we buy the foolishness of the message. We like to be cheated. Otherwise the advertising industry could not run on unless people wanted to be cheated. Makeup. What is this makeup? Some ugly hag with all lines on their face and as ugly as soot or hell. They put on some makeup and they try to cover up all their... Makeup means cover up. To try to make someone who's not very beautiful look beautiful. There's billions of dollars spent every year for women and men nowadays also to attempt to cheat others into making them look, making themselves look more beautiful than they actually are. It's all cheating, that's all. So we're in an atmosphere of cheating. We like the illusion. We like the illusion that we can be happy very cheaply. Drink Coca-Cola and you'll be happy. Okay. Use Surf soap powder. You will be happy. Okay. It's easy. We don't have to think very much about it. Okay. Yes. Coca-Cola, how much that costs? 20 rupees? Whatever. Okay, I bought it. And good, 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 good. And then we cheat ourselves and pretend we're happy. And other people all around us also pretend we're also happy. And everyone's pretending. And then someone commits suicide. You wonder, what happened? They were so happy. And then you say, well, that was just unfortunate. And the whole world is a total mess, disaster. The whole society is completely full of so many disturbances, but still they're thinking, well, never mind, we're making some psychological studies, and we're gonna find out how to adjust our behavior a little bit. Are we going to invent some new drug and then that'll adjust the way with our whole outlook, and we're going to make a new super highway from Pune to, I don't know, Akola, and that will really be a great boost, and that will solve all the problems, and then we're going to make India a superpower, and we're going to make big bombs and blast Pakistan into space, and you know, America's gonna be come and kiss India's backside, and then everyone, you know,
then everything will be wonderful. And never mind, we're making everything polluted, but we'll do something about that also. Don't worry, everything's okay, everything's under control. Just we have to adjust everything a little bit, and everything will be very nice. And then we'll all live happily ever after. That's in the fairy story, right? It's a fairy story. Once upon a time, there was a king and a prince, and he married a beautiful girl, and they lived happily ever after. Bogus. No one ever lives happily ever after. It's just a fairy story. But we like to hear this nonsense, because we like to be cheated. We are in the atmosphere, this whole material world is an atmosphere of cheating. And if someone is very expert at cheating, they become lauded as a great personality. Film star. What is a film star? Someone who's playing a role, just acting out a role of some story of some imaginary person that doesn't exist. Now all over the world is Harry Potter, very popular books. It's just a made-up story, that's all. There's no reality, no substance, absolutely nothing of any reality or substance or value. People love it. Why? Because they like to be cheated. People like to live in a dream world. I haven't read Harry Potter. I don't intend to ever, by the way. So, it's all cheating. But the result of cheating is that we think we're getting something, or we like to pretend that we're getting something, which we know actually it's not there, but we're not really concerned with real things, substantial things. We're living in a tinsel world. Everything is very light and very cheap. But it's not genuine. Live happily ever after. We know that in this material world there's no such thing. That's the fairy story. But actually that is the desire of everyone, to live happily ever after. But we don't in this material world, and we don't want to face up to the reality that we don't have any solution for the real material problems, which are birth, death, old age and disease. We don't even want to talk about it or think about it. This problem is so big and so pressing that we don't even want to think about it. Maybe you know that this example is more famous in the Western world, where at the concentration camps organized by the Nazis of Germany, where the principal internees were Jews. So as the Jews, they were marched towards the gas chambers to be gassed to death, out of some kind of bizarre gesture was that they had, as they were going, they had a live orchestra playing classical music for the people who were being marched to death. Full orchestra, you know, like 30, 40 Germans, not Jews, playing an orchestra, very high class music. And the men who were being marched to death, they would take off their hat as a sign of appreciation. Very nice, thank you very much. We appreciate this nice music that you're playing as we're being marched to our death. So, the fact is they're about to be slaughtered. But in the meantime,
in the intervening minutes before they are taken to be slaughtered, they are appreciating. What nice music, very good music, thank you. We appreciate that you have come here to play this music for us. They don't like to acknowledge the reality that they're about to be slaughtered. So that's our situation. Srila Prabhupada also gave the example that the goats are brought for slaughter and they're put in a pen, and then one by one they're taken out and their throats are cut or their heads are chopped off. So the other goats are watching this and they can see, and they see one by one the goats are being taken out, and they know, I'm also in the corral, I'm also going to be slaughtered. So what do? They indulge in sex. There's only a few minutes to live? Okay. Enjoy while you can. You ever heard that one? Enjoy while you can. You're young, enjoy. You only live once, enjoy. But what is the enjoyment? Another example that in many countries where the death penalty is still practiced, capital punishment, the general system is that the execution takes place early in the morning. So the night before, they come the day before and say, well, what would you like for your last meal? Whatever you want, you can have. And then the next morning, we'll either shoot you or hang you or inject you or electric chair you. So who's going to enjoy a nice meal? If you know that, this won't even get to out the other side. There won't be time. It'll just turn into it'll remain within the carcass. How are you going to enjoy? So that is our situation. We cannot actually enjoy in this world because we have to die. We're living in the world of death. But people, they don't want to face this reality. If we say to people, do you want the real thing? Or do you want the cheap, cheating thing? People say, well, I want the real thing. But actually, most people don't want the real thing. Most people want to be cheated. Because to get the real thing requires some qualification. And most people don't want that. You may wonder, why is it that there are so many bogus so-called spiritual groups? Why do they flourish? There's some group, some guy from Bangalore with a beard. What's his name? Shavi Ranka, something like that. Something, the fart of living, something like that. So, obviously, this man is just a complete cheat. He's got nothing of any substance to offer. He's just taking people's money. And very hulker. But people love it. Personality development. Yeah. You become this, that. And I'm not a guru and telling little jokes and giggling. People love it. They love to be cheated. But if we tell them that here is a spiritual process for going beyond birth and death, purity is required, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. And people will say, no me either, I'm going somewhere else. No, yes. People like to be cheated. If we tell Even among devotees, we say, oh, you're all great devotees. You're all great pure devotees. We say, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. That's true. We like to hear, just to imagine that I'm wonderful, I'm great, everything is good. We don't like to face the reality that we're living in the world of death. Another example, there are so many examples. The rabbit being chased by the dogs. You've probably not seen that because you're all city boys. But if you live in the... if we go in the country, sometimes you'll see the rabbit is running across the field and the dogs are chasing it. The rabbit can run quite fast, but on the other hand, it's small compared to the dogs, who have got longer legs. So ultimately, the rabbit, it may not get away, it just can't run. It can't maintain the distance, and the dogs are going to catch it. So it simply stops and in fear closes its eyes. That's all. But close its eyes means you can't see the dogs. You like to pretend that they're not there, but they're there. And within seconds they'll come and rip that rabbit to pieces. Cruel nature. We like to think nature is very sweet, but some weeks ago, early in the morning, you'll see the bird like a coquille on the telegraph pole. I saw one singing very sweetly, very beautiful sound. Singing very sweetly, but then I saw underneath its right talon was a big, it had captured between its claw and the telegraph pole was a big insect which was struggling and trying to get free. So it was singing sweetly, and time to time it would look down at that, just lift its foot a little bit so the insect thought, now I can get free, and then put it down again and capture. Then after some time it stopped singing and just ate the flag. Singing very sweetly, but at the same time torturing the fly and eventually ate it. So like that, we tend to, out of illusion, think that appearance is the reality. We see some beautiful woman and we think, oh, she must be so nice, so sweet, and such a nice person. But generally, not necessarily always, but those with very good-looking woman, she has the opportunity to manipulate men by her good looks, and then they can use that. So, good character and good looks doesn't necessarily mean the same thing. Vyasadeva, greatest character, good character, he is said to have been very ugly. How about that? But we like to live in a dream world. I will marry a very beautiful woman who does whatever I say. I will be very rich and people will respect me and I'll have lots of children. Oh, nowadays they don't like lots of children. Only one or two children who will also be very rich. I will have a nice dog and a nice swimming pool. And everything will be wonderful. Everyone dreams like that, isn't it? To get married, and there's a band, and everyone comes and offers blessings, and then all the problems. If the problems in your life didn't begin, well, they begin from that day. Wedding day means the day when all your problems really begin. And that's a fact. Ask any married person, if they're honest, that all the problems that I
But we like to think everything will be very nice. We like to live in a world of illusion. So what is reality? It's not difficult to explain, but it becomes difficult because we have so many objections. We have our own idea of what reality should be. Reality should be Ishvaraham Aham Bhogi. I should be in control. I should enjoy. If there is God, God should make arrangements for me to be happy. That's His job. That's mostly what people think. Someone was telling the some famous politician in Maharashtra. He was saying that, well, I don't believe in God. My wife was so nice and she died young. So that proved to me there's no God. So God has to serve you, whatever you want, that should be. Another one, this, what's his name? Ram Jetlamani, is that, did I say it right? Yeah. He said that, well, I used to believe in God, but when I went to Gujarat after the earthquake and I saw so many children died in the school, then I stopped believing. Then I had my doubts. Why would he do that? So people think that God is meant to arrange our lives very nicely. But the actual fact is that He is Ishvara, He is Bhogi, we are meant to serve Him. And if we do so, then we come to the genuine position of happiness. But because we are rascals, we don't like to accept. That is the fact. It's not a joke. It's just a fact, that's all. We think it, we like to laugh, but it's not a laughing matter. It's a fact. We don't like to admit it. It's too big. You get cheated. You build up your business with a lot of hard work over many years. Gradually, you become rich, and then You just can't face up to the reality that someone, you trusted them and they cheated you out of everything. It's just too much for us to admit. So we live in a world of self-delusion. But what is the actual fact? It's not difficult to understand. But we don't like to understand. We like to be cheated. Therefore, it's very difficult for us to understand. As Srila Prabhupada often gave the example, it's not difficult to wake someone up, but it's very difficult to wake someone up if they are pretending to be asleep. If you're pretending to be asleep, you think, I don't want to get up. So this person's come to wake me up. I'll just pretend to be asleep, and then he can try to wake me up, but he'll give up after some time, and he'll go away. Then I can actually go back to sleep. So someone who's pretending to be asleep, it's very difficult to wake them up. So in the same way, it's very difficult for us to accept the reality that the actually real thing is Krishna, Vastava Vastu. Krishna is genuine reality, and our existence is dependent upon Him. Our happiness is, everything is dependent upon Him. Our happiness, our distress also. Therefore, we bring so many objections. If someone comes and says, "You are God," people think, "Oh, yes, that's true." And we like to live in this illusion. If someone tells us, "You are God," we think, "Yeah, this." We like to be cheated. It's obvious that we're not God. If we're God, then why are we suffering in so many ways? Why do we have to go to work to get money? People say, I got a good job. There's no such thing as a good job, because job means you have to do something you don't want to do, and however much they pay you, you always want more. So what does it mean, a good job? It's like saying, well, I've got a good cell in the prison. You know, it's a better cell than someone else's cell, but still you're in the prison. So it's, you can say, I got a good cell in the prison, in the same way you can say, I got a good job, but ultimately it's not good. So we want a position in this material world. We say, this is good, but there's nothing good about it. What is our genuine situation is that we are meant to be always full of happiness and never die. But we can't imagine such a situation. We can't accept that we are meant for that situation, but that to come to that situation, we have to surrender to Krishna. So we prefer to accept the cheating promises of persons who tell us that we are God, or that you have to get a good job, then you will be happy, or that you have to use surf, soap powder, then you will be happy. We prefer this because we are not sincere to accept that which is genuine. Sometimes people say, well, can you show me God? Well, if the answer is yes, but are you qualified to see? So what is genuine? What is substance? And what is shadow? Are we qualified to accept that substance? That means we have to be qualified to accept the genuine. We have to be fully free of the cheating propensity, which means that we have to accept that I am not God. I am not the enjoyer. I am not happy in this material world. It means totally revamping our whole perspective and our whole outlook, all our endeavors since the moment we were born, and actually even previous to that, in previous lives, our whole endeavor has been, everything we do is simply meant for my own self-interest, calculated in terms of how I will be happy in this material world. But it's all cheating. Everyone is cheating everyone else. By everyone is reinforcing everyone else's misconception that we can be happy here, we should be happy here. So to admit that it's all a hoax from the very beginning, that we've been cheated colossally. Yeah, even by our parents, they're also cheating, by the educational system, by the school, by the TV, everything, simply cheating. Unless they tell us to surrender to Krishna, that is the only path of genuine happiness, of genuine well-being. It's all cheating. Are we ready to accept that? Otherwise, we use words like joy, peace, sadbhavana. We say sadbhavana. Where is the sadbhavana? It's just we're talking, that's all. We use words like mercy, compassion, happiness. Where is it? We're just talking. Are we really serious to get that? That is certainly attainable. It is the birthright of the soul. But it's not available on the light plane. Reality is heavy. Reality means substance. Shadow means it looks the same. A reflection looks the same, But there's nothing there that we can actually utilize. Who would like to eat a nice feast of puri, sabji, dal, and halva reflection in a mirror? Looks the same. Or you, in the newspaper, photo, beautiful woman, you want to embrace, it's just paper, that's all. So the counterfeit, the shadow, the reflection, there's nothing actually there. It looks the same, but there's nothing there that we can actually utilize or relate to. So this Krishna conscious movement is meant for coming to the platform of what is actually real. Vastava Vastu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur used this phrase. The genuine reality. That is Krishna. How that is Krishna is another big discussion. Here we're just pointing out what is a Krishna, what is not Krishna. Actually nothing is independent of Krishna. But that is Ritertam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chavani. What's the next line? Yat syat atmano maya yata basho yata tamaha. What is maya? Means the reflection. Reality is Krishna, but that which is perceived of as being separate from Krishna, it looks real, but it's just the reflection in the darkness. This is explained by Krishna. So Krishna is Vastava Vastu. You've heard this saying, hero and zero. So Krishna is the real hero. And everything else without Krishna is simply zero. So this we want to point out. Don't be cheated. The first thing, of course, to understand Krishna is not such an easy thing because we're used to accepting the counterfeit. So it's difficult for us to accept what is actually the reality because we're not accustomed to understand what is reality. But the first thing to understand is that we are living in the world of cheating. And that it is in our real self-interest not to be cheated, but to come to reality. So what is reality? That we shall have to ascertain, we shall have to learn by hearing from Shastra. Shastra means messages from beyond the world of cheating. Messages from the world of reality. And that we have to hear. That has to be explained to us also by persons who are not cheaters. Otherwise, even the messages from the world of reality, if they are explained by persons with a cheating propensity, it again becomes distorted into cheating. So that's why we have to be very careful to accept proper spiritual guidance in which we won't be cheated. Because there are many who profess to present reality, but ultimately they want to cheat us. Who is a cheater? Someone who wants to exploit us. And who is a genuine well-wisher? One who first of all knows what is in our real self-interest and knows how to deliver that to us and is committed to deliver that to us. So even many of the so-called well-wishers of this material world, they're actually cheaters, just like you might be shocked when you say, well, even your parents are cheating you. They don't have your best interest at heart. Well, maybe they do, but they don't know what your best interest is, so they can't deliver it. And although they may think that it's in your best interest just to become another fool in the rat race,
they don't know what's actually in your best interest. So wittingly or unwittingly, they become cheaters also. So real best friend is one who knows what is actually for our benefit and doesn't compromise on delivering that to us. Even others, just there are so many welfare workers, someone is praised for opening homes for the poor in Calcutta, but how does it actually help them? They're helping the body, but that is not actually helping the person. So to understand what is reality, when we are used to non-reality, that may take some time to understand. And even in spiritual life, the tendency is to take that which is cheap or easy or which sounds nice, rather than to accept the reality which can be attained by becoming completely devoid of any desires other than that of total submission to the supreme reality. That we have to be Jiva Swarupai Krishna Nityadas. This is the truth. That we are the eternal servants of Krishna. But even in the name of serving, then we may become inclined to again become a false master. So there are many potholes on the path back to Godhead. But anyway, this lecture is entitled The Original and the Counterfeit. And by highlighting the counterfeit, we can start by elimination. We can start to understand what is the reality. Unless we identify what is the counterfeit, we cannot properly identify the reality. Because as long as our consciousness is one of accepting everything in terms of our own sense enjoyment, then even we hear about Krishna, and we will think that, well, Krishna is also a subject of my sense enjoyment. That's why we don't speak very much about Krishna's pastimes, how he's enjoying. We speak about the principle of it more. Because without understanding the principle, the philosophy of his being the supreme enjoyer, and our position as being his completely surrendered servants, unless we understand that, if we hear about Krishna's pastimes, then we will think, the tendency will be to think that, well, he's just like me, he likes to enjoy, but he's getting away with it better than me, then we become envious. Or we want to join Krishna's pastimes so that we can enjoy ourselves. Certainly that we shall in the position of serving Krishna is one of enjoyment, but if we think of our own enjoyment, then we become disqualified to serve. Just see, it's a conundrum. That certainly service, fully surrendered service to Krishna is the source of all happiness for the jiva, but as soon as we think how I shall be happy by doing so, then we lose our position of service and we adopt the position of an enjoyer. So, to come to the genuine, first we have to understand what is false and become free from that false conception of trying to enjoy this world and understand that I am only meant for service to Krishna. This is my constitutional position. So, Hare Krishna, that is an introduction to the subject matter. What is the genuine? The genuine is Krishna. Who is Krishna? Krishna means Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. He is the Supreme Controller. His form is not a form like ours, formed of material elements, but it is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. He is the origin of everything. He existed before this material world. He is Govinda, the giver of pleasure to the cows, the land, and the senses. He is the cause of all causes. There are so many descriptions of Krishna. Advaita, Achyuta, Anadi, Ananta, Rupa. Practically every adjective, one way or the other, describes Krishna. Even the apparently negative adjectives. From one perspective, everything is centered on Krishna. So the real subject of study is Krishna. He is original. History, geography, economics, commerce, these are all subjects which are taught in our attempt to enjoy this material world. But without understanding Krishna, it's all empty. All a series of zeros. So Krishna is that genuine, he is the genuine substance, vastava-vastu, who by understanding yasmin vigyatam sarvam evam vigyatam bhavati, by understanding Krishna, everything comes into perspective, everything is understood. But it's very difficult to discuss Krishna among people with the cheating propensity, because they will protest, why Krishna? Why not me? Why not some? Why this? Why not? There's so many objections, one after the other, simply exhibiting their envy of Krishna. So Krishna cannot be understood simply by an academic process. Change of heart is required. That change of heart from thinking, I am meant to enjoy this material world, that should change to, I am meant for serving Krishna. That change of heart will come about not simply by discussion, not by use of the intelligent. It's also not unintelligent, it's the most intelligent decision to make. But that change of consciousness comes about. Bhaktis tu bhagavat sang. Bhaktis tu bhagavat. Bhaktas sangena parijayate. By association with devotees, those who have that spirit of service to Krishna, but fortunate people by coming in contact with such persons become inspired by that spirit of service to Krishna and also wish to take it up. Are there any questions about this, please? If so, please raise your hand and the cordless mic will be brought to you. Yeah, there's a question there.
Sometimes many people, they adopt this path of enlightenment or the path of relating to God out of something. Actually, many people, actually, they adopt the process to reduce the act of suffering, but somehow or other, they adopt many processes, but they get tainted.
They get what, sorry?
They get tainted by those processes. And
people take to spiritual life out of suffering and get cheated, yeah.
Many processes, like many of the bogus philosophies we have, and they try to adapt it and to try to take it and they get treated. And the faith in God totally reduced. Maybe a person, the last attempt to take the path of enlightenment, and in that last attempt, he got treated. So many people have been, they are getting treated by those processes. How to really bring back to the real pleasure, the real satisfaction?
So Sorry, what you said, I don't see how the question follows as a logical.
Yeah, my question is that many people get triggered by those processes. But yeah. How to convince people
who took to some supposedly spiritual path, yeah. found themselves cheated, and as a result don't have faith in any spiritual path. Yeah. How to convince such people?
Yeah.
Well, it may not be very easy. Vitaraga bhaya krodha vannaya mam upashita bahavo jnana tapasa putam adbhava magataha. Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita that many people, being free from attachment, fear and anger, became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they attained to me. Became purified by knowledge and austerity. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada discusses three kinds of people who don't come to Krishna consciousness. People who are overly attached to material life. People who are afraid of surrendering to a personal God. And people who become angry because they may blame God for their suffering, or they may take to some spiritual process and become cheated. And then no, I don't believe in any spiritual things. They're all cheaters. Actually, I was like that. When I was first showed Prabhupada's books by a friend at school, I must have been 16 at the time, I said, "Oh, I don't want to see these books. I know all these Indian gurus. They're all cheaters." I didn't even want to look, because my impression of these Indian gurus was that they're all cheaters. And I presumed that Prabhupada, or I didn't know his name, but I presumed this must be something like that. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that because there are many cheaters doesn't mean that everyone is a cheater. You can try saying that. That's how Prabhupada answered this. That because... Yes, sweat and blood required. We could just very happily sit and chant Hare Krishna. But to get others to come, gallons of blood required to get anyone to chant Hare Krishna. What is the origin of Krishna? Myself, Vaibha. Myself. Are you sure? That's yourself? Myself is Krishna Das. Krishna is Vaibha. There is no origin of Krishna. If there's an origin of Krishna, then he's not God. It's a logical fallacy in philosophy. It's a logical fallacy to have infinite regression. The origin of everything is Krishna. The best way of service to the Supreme Krishna, the best way of service according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that following the example of the gopis. Ramya kachidu pasana braja vadhuva gena ya kalpita. That means that their spirit of service is totally selfless. It's not necessarily a matter of what we do, but it's the attitude in which it's done. The gopi's attitude is one of totally selfless service. That has to be imbibed by associating with devotees who have that attitude. As far as techniques are concerned, the best process in Kali Yoga especially is by chanting the holy names of Krishna, especially the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, then.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
One of
Prabhupada's instructors to obtain our desires in accordance with Krishna conscious practices. So what about this leading education, which at one part is the desire of our parents, and this is the first part, and how to obtain the desire of some of the people regarding social service, Manav Seva.
I'm sorry, I couldn't catch it. Wasn't clear enough. Could anyone else who wants to ask a question, please write it down, because with the generator, it's difficult to hear. I caught a few words, something about parents and social service. I'll look at your lips, that will help. Srila Prabhupada has instructed us to fulfill our desires in accordance with Krishna conscious practices. Could you give some example from Prabhupada's books of him?
Yeah, I see. Fulfill your desire. For example, the other outside people, they feel so. We also have a
right. Right, okay. Srila Prabhupada says our desires can be dovetailed. But that's not the ultimate platform. That's a beginning. Beginning is what you like to do, you do for Krishna. But the real platform is to do what Krishna wants us to do, regardless of our own desire. Yeah, I was hoping the generator would go off.
Hare Krishna.
That's the beginning. Yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yat chuhoshi, tadasi, yat. Yat tapasyasi, kaunteya, tat kurushva madalpana. Whatever you do, do it for Krishna. Offer it to Krishna, if it's offered. That's the beginning. But ultimately, savai pung sam paro dharma yato bhaktir adhokshaje. Ahaitukiya pratihata yayatma supraseedati. Ultimately, his service has to be without any personal desire to fully satisfy Krishna and to fully satisfy ourselves.
How we should dovetail our desires, desire of our parents to study this
Jnana Vidya. How to dovetail Krishna consciousness, satisfying Krishna with satisfying people who have different outlook altogether. Difficult. Either the parents' outlook has to change, or we have to somehow or other fool them, or we have to compromise our Krishna consciousness, or we have to go against them. You can ask Radheshyam Prabhu, he has more experience in this. I'm not very expert in telling people how to balance all these things. I don't recommend that you deliberately upset your parents, but at the same time, there's a long history of how Krishna consciousness doesn't satisfy the parents. It goes back to Prahlad Maharaj and like that. So it's a tough one.
Regarding the social service which outside
world is providing. Hey, that's a lot of questions you got there. Maybe I should answer someone else's. What do you think? Then you can come back later, because there are other people also. Why don't you write down questions? And I'll take them as they come. Is it possible to understand Krishna without any qualification? Without any previous qualification, Krishna can give qualification, but generally one has to attain the spiritual qualification of one has to be blessed by the spiritual master, there's a certain attitude which will make it, which is favorable for understanding Krishna. That attitude is tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadikshanti te gyanam gyaninastatva darshanaha. that we approach those who are servants of Krishna, approach submissively, with a service attitude, asking relevant questions. So that is the Krishna can award qualification to understand him to anyone, but he himself makes the process that one has to become qualified to do so. Can others make it possible for others who don't know Krishna? Yeah, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he made even the animals chant Hare Krishna. They didn't have any qualification. But generally one has to, this process, one has to become submissive, humble, ready to hear, ready to serve. Otherwise it's not possible to understand Krishna. If I can't, could someone write, I can't, if and some, if and something, what is that? If and what? You can't read it, okay. How is Sri Sri something cheating? By not teaching the genuine thing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by teaching that we can be happy in this world, everyone is cheating. Unless we fail to deliver the genuine thing, then we are cheating. That's all.
Excuse me?
Sadhu's duty is to teach the truth that Krishna is supreme. We are all subordinate to him. We are all suffering in this material world because we are not surrendering to Krishna. Anyone who teaches anything else, even if they have a few bhajans about Krishna or a few quotes from Bhagavad Gita, but unless they teach this reality very clearly, then they are simply cheating. If you go to the doctor and you have a potentially terminal disease and he says, oh, it doesn't matter. There's nothing really very wrong. I'll just give you some painkillers, then he's cheating. It makes you feel good, but it doesn't solve your problem. He's cheating. Next question. If you want to understand this in more detail, how, it's just an example. I mean, he's just another cheater. There are so many people, they come and go. There are so many fashions. One day there's one fashionable guru, next day there's another fashionable so-called guru. They come and go. The real thing always stays. Bhagavad Gita as it is, remains. And all these cheaters, they come and go. If you want to understand more about how these cheaters are cheaters, then please read The Science of Self-Realization by Srila Prabhupada, in which he explains what are the qualifications of a real guru. And you can also read the first article in The Journey of Self-Discovery, in which Srila Prabhupada, when he's asked about these gurus, he says, they're all nonsense. And then the interviewer says, could you elaborate on that more? And Prabhupada says, yes, they're all rascals also. And he explains why. It's not, you see, anyone can just call bad names, but you have to understand why. That it seems that they're doing something good. They're smiling and taking 2,000 rupees for God knows what. And it seems like something very good, but it's all cheating. Because they fail to deliver the actual reality that this material world is a place of suffering. There is no art of living in this material world in a way that you can be happy, because this material world is a place of suffering. And anyone who tells you that you can live happily in this material world is simply a cheater and a rascal who deserves to be kicked in the face. But because we have such a rascal government who even denies the Supreme Personality of Godhead, these people are allowed to flourish. It's an unfortunate situation. Next question. We talk so much about happiness, but what is happiness? What does it mean? Yeah, we're so far away from it, we can't even imagine what happiness is. Happiness means that state in which there is total satisfaction of the soul, unobstructed. That is possible in Krishna consciousness only. Krishna is always happy. We are meant to be happy. If we want to experience that, how do you see? We can explain happiness is like this, happiness is like that, maybe speak in some psychological terms, but we can't understand what it is unless we experience it. So chanting Hare Krishna is like that. It's like honey. You can write a PhD thesis on honey. Different varieties of honey extracted from different flowers by different kinds of bees and the different therapeutical effects and the history of honey and the export of honey and different products made from honey. But you can study your whole life about honey, but you'll never understand what it tastes like until you lick it. So similarly, we can talk about happiness, but ultimately it's something to be experienced, not simply by talking. So that happiness comes from chanting Hare Krishna in a mood of service to Krishna. It is to be experienced. So after this talking, there will be chanting of Hare Krishna. How did I get associated with Krishna consciousness? What do you feel the cause? What do you feel cause of lot of people not getting the same? I'll state that again in English. What do you feel is the cause that many people do not get the same? Well, how I came in contact, well, I can tell you that now I was just another idiot loitering on the streets, and by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I can tell my personal life story, but the philosophical understanding, which is true in every case, you may say this person came like this person came like that, but it's Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. One who is fortunate, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, they get the seed of devotional service. So one has to be fortunate to come in contact with devotees and accept what they have to say. That fortune comes about by pious activities in previous lives. Generally, by contact with devotional service in previous lives, one's consciousness becomes prepared to accept it. Yeah, these are big topics, but there's not much time, so I'm just saying briefly. Please read Srila Prabhupada's books and attend these philosophical discussions, and gradually it can be understood. Not everything can be understood all at once. How to understand that sense gratification is illusory and it leads to suffering? We hear from Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Dukhale amashashvata. Hear and see, look all around you. Yes, it's a fact. Everything ends in death. Sense gratification doesn't bring happiness. The other process is to attempt to enjoy it. This is not recommended. You will suffer. We can accept Krishna's words. What does Krishna say? Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. We should see by anudarshanam, by seeing the example of others and hearing from those who know that this world is a place of birth, death, old age and disease. You can't see? What more do you want to understand? What more do you want to understand? People are dying. People are suffering old age, disease. What more do you want to understand? Is it such a difficult thing to understand? If an idol can't protect himself, how will he protect me? Oh, I see, that word is... What was it written previously?
Altar.
If an idol... Yeah, this is the... It's a common claim of the demons. It's not my word. It's not a joke word. It's a word from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Don't laugh. If by laughing, you're laughing at Krishna. These are the words he uses. It's not a joke. People who don't accept Krishna are demons. So those who are demons, they like to cite that the deities are broken. So how can the deity protect you or protect me? Yeah, Srila Prabhupada gave the example that Muslims will go to the Hindu temple and break the deity, and they think, now we've broken their god. And then the Hindus will go and break the mosque and think that we've broken their god. But actually, that's not the fact. You cannot break God. Those who see the deity as stone or brass or wood, Krishna reciprocates with them like that. For those who see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he reciprocates with them like that. The form of the deity is eternal, but is manifested in matter, which is not eternal. The form of the deity is Krishna, but that form, as manifested in material elements, adopts the nature of those material elements. So the deity, anyway, even if the deity is not broken by iconoclasts — that iconoclast means someone who likes to break deities — then anyway, in course of time, that deity will become faded. We have in Puri Jagannath the deity every so often. I think it was 5 times during the 20th century. There's Navakalevara. The form is changed. That doesn't mean that Jagannath dies or that he changes body. But the Lord manifests himself out of his mercy through those material elements. Those who know this is Krishna, then he will reciprocate as Krishna. Those who think these are material elements, they will have the satisfaction of thinking, we killed the god. That is their foolishness. Does every substance necessarily have a shadow? Well, maybe someone in science can say that. How can the divine holy substance have a shadow? The divine holy substance has a shadow or a reflection because that which is divine and holy is ultimately personal. And personal means personal interaction, which means to choose to love. We can choose to love Krishna, or we can choose not to love Krishna. Love means choice. If someone forces you to serve Krishna, then that is not love. You can beat children. Put it underneath. You can beat children. You chant Hare Krishna, but that will not be out of love that they will chant Hare Krishna. When they get older, they probably won't want to if you beat them to do so. But if they're induced that, yes, I like to do this, then they will develop love for Krishna. So we have the choice to serve Krishna or not to serve Krishna. That is love or not love. When we don't want to love Krishna, when we want to forget Krishna, then we come to an atmosphere in which there apparently is no Krishna, which is compared to a reflection. So that shadow existence is there due to our shadowy desires to forget Krishna. How can sunlight have a shadow? Yeah, well, actually, when we say Krishna himself doesn't become contaminated. But this material world is there because we are contaminated. Before coming to ISKCON, I was in another spiritual world, and they are totally surrendered to Krishna. They're telling that Krishna also has a guru. So what is the role of guru in our life? I don't know what is another spiritual world. Spiritual world means to understand Krishna tatvataha perfectly. Many people talk of Krishna, but they don't have a clear understanding of who is Krishna. The role of guru is to guide us toward Krishna. To give tadvijnanartham saguru mevabhigachet, to get knowledge of Krishna, we approach. How to combine our rationality and spirituality to lead a good life, even staying in family to be happy. This precondition. That you give me a formula by which I can be happy in this material world and be spiritual at the same time. Cheating. I'm setting the conditions. This is not, I am giving the condition, you, I am telling spiritual life should be like this, and now you give the formula. There's the, then you can't understand. I already know what it means to be spiritual. I'm giving you what I, it's like, you know, I'm gonna make my own customized Dell computer, and you make it according to my specifications. No, we have to, Krishna makes the specification. We have to fit according to His formula. If according to His formula, we can live happily in this material world and chant Hare Krishna, all well and good. If not, we have to forget it, because we have to follow what Krishna says. Not that I set the conditions. Now you tell me how I can fit into that. We're not saying that you can't be happy in family life. We can be, if we are Krishna conscious, but that's not the precondition. Of course, for many people, if we say like that, they'll run away, but. So sometimes we dress it up and say, yeah. Prabhupada would often say that, yeah, you be happy with family and chant Hare Krishna. But then other times you'd say that, you know, you would speak like that. Family life means suffering. You can laugh, but it doesn't change the situation. Laugh as much as you like, but family life means that even if all the family members are in Krishna consciousness and they're all cooperating, which is unusual, but still you have to do some work and some job or whatever it is to maintain that. And still you have anxiety of attachment to family members, and still there are so many diversions, social diversions, so that we should understand. We can cater to the illusion to some extent by saying that yes, you can be happy in family life and chant Hare Krishna, that you can be relatively happy, but we can be fully happy by being Krishna conscious, even in family life, but that doesn't mean that the problems of family life go away. Whoever asked this question, I have a series of cassettes, if you still have a cassette recorder, I'll give you, by Jayadvaita Swami. It's called The Hopes and Horrors of Family Life. It's a series of lectures. The hopes he covered in about 5 minutes, and the rest is about the horrors. Because that's the reality, actually. We don't like to admit it, but family life means you get entangled in so many things which are not directly focused on our real self-interest, which is to surrender to Krishna. If we get the spirit, if we get spirituality by pious activities in the past lives, and what is the need of preaching? The need of preaching is to help people to who don't have pious activities in previous lives to get some in this life, and that those who have pious activities in previous lives can come up further. It's not automatic. What is the secret of controlling calm sexual sense? Yeah, that's a tough one, huh? The secret is to dovetail all our desires in the service of Krishna. Instead of thinking how I can enjoy, think that everything I do should be for the enjoyment of Krishna. If you want an elaborate answer to that, I have written a book called Brahmacharya in Krishna Consciousness, which is available here. Hare Krishna. There are many elements in Krishna consciousness. Different devotees like different things. Unless we enjoy doing some service, we can't do it properly. That's true. In the beginning stages, we often can't concentrate on the service unless we like doing it. But that's why we have to hear that the enjoyment from the service, instead of thinking how I will enjoy, we have to think how Krishna will enjoy. And then we will realize, we'll come to a higher level of experiencing that the highest bliss comes by accepting difficulties and doing things that we don't like to do in Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada, he could have stayed in Vrindavan and not preached Krishna consciousness all over the world. He would have been very happy sitting and chanting Hare Krishna. He didn't have to get on a boat and have heart attacks and go and live with uncivilized people who ate meat and smoked cigarettes and try to convince them that illicit sex is sinful and get them to chant Hare Krishna. He could have remained in Vrindavan and chanted Hare Krishna. Why did he accept so much difficulty? Because his spirit was to serve Krishna, what Krishna wants me to do, not what I want to do. So, if we can't concentrate on a service properly, if we don't like doing it, that means we have, alright, that's all. But really the endeavor has to be to come to a higher platform. Generally, we may be given services according to some propensity, just like Krishna asked Arjuna to fight, because that's his propensity, his psycho-physical propensity. But then we have to be prepared. In a preaching movement, we have to be prepared to do things that we may not like. I don't think anyone likes, no one would choose to. Just like in the Western countries, they go out with books and they try to distribute them to people who are not interested in them. Or in this country also, when we go out to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, we have to meet so many people who may be inimical. We may have to go in the heat, or in the trains, and it's very noisy and people are smoking. We may not like to do it, but we do it because we know that Krishna will, Srila Prabhupada will be satisfied with that. So the question is, we can't do a service properly unless we enjoy doing it. Yeah, but like I say, if we can come to a higher platform of being happy in Krishna's pleasure, then that will be, then we'll always be happy in Krishna. If we're, otherwise we'll never be happy because we think, well, whatever service we're doing, we think, well, actually I'd like to be doing, this is okay, but I'd like to be doing something else. Because that's the nature of the conditioned mind. We always think we'll be happier doing something else. We never contend in any situation. So if we're doing some service and we think, well, it's okay, I don't really like, I want to do something else. And then we're doing that, then I want to do something else, then I want to do something, and we're never satisfied. So ultimately the satisfaction has to come from the attitude of service. how to discriminate between our enjoyment and Krishna's enjoyment. Yeah, well, I think I answered that. How can one be liberated by following Christianity or Islam with full faith and sincerity? If one has full sincerity, then they should come here. Christianity and Islam, they speak vaguely about God, but they don't know who He is, where He is, what He wants, what He looks like. And they teach that it's good to eat meat. And so if you're really sincere, then come to a higher platform. It's like asking, how can you become a PhD in mathematics by studying in the primary school? Well, you can't. You can learn 2 + 2 = 4, but you can't come to a higher platform. Then you have to go to a higher educational institution. If you really want to know God, then you have to go further than thinking that He's the Alpha and the Omega and there's nothing more. You have to know who He is, where He lives, what He looks like, what He wants, what He eats. Otherwise, how can you love someone you don't know anything about? Lord Krishna robbed... what is that? Cheese? From many... from many houses. Butter, actually. Let's get the facts right here. From many houses, enjoyed with many girls. Is it true? Then Krishna also cheated. Yes. These are Krishna's transcendental pastimes. They're not on the mundane platform. Krishna does not exploit anyone. In this material world, cheating means we exploit others, we take advantage of others so that we get something and we deprive them of something. By cheating, we deprive someone of something so that we get something without properly working for it. Someone says, oh, I'll take this computer and sell it for you. And I'll take 5,000 rupees and I'll give you 45,000. And then we never see him again. Or we see him and say, well, actually, I couldn't sell, it got stolen from me, what can I do? And we, the person cheated us. But Krishna, he doesn't exploit anyone. By his stealing and his dancing with the gopis from in the transcendental land of Vrindavan, where everything is centered on Krishna and everyone loves Krishna. So by his stealing from the homes of the gopis, they became filled with transcendental bliss. They became very happy. And Krishna's gopis are not ordinary girls that use and throw away. There's no abortions in Vrindavan. It's not a matter of exploitation. It is a reciprocation of pure love. So there is no question of cheating. God said in Bhagavad Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadapanam srijamyam purutranaya sadhanam vinashaya tadushkritam dharma samsthapanataya Sambhavami Yoga Yoga. Why did not God incarnate when India was ruled by the Mughals? He did. He came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When all the irreligious activities were flourishing. Yes, Krishna comes in every yuga, but he doesn't come at every moment in every yuga. This material world is basically the place of adharma. We have come here to forget Krishna. Krishna gives us opportunity to do so. But from time to time he comes to rectify the position so that those who want to be rectified can be rectified. How India's position became downfallen is a long history. We only know the history superficially. To understand it from Krishna's viewpoint, Krishna came, he spoke Bhagavad Gita, you're saying God, why not Krishna? We can see, Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita. So, with the advent of Kali Yuga, Kali means hypocrisy. So the misuse of the Vedas, that was the, in the Vedas there are animal sacrifices there, but people were taking advantage of that to kill many animals for meat eating. So Lord Buddha came, the Brahmanas, they were misusing their position to exploit others. So Vishnu incarnated as Buddha. And the Kshatriyas, they adopted Buddhism, non-violence, which is adharma, as a protest against the misuse by the Brahmanas. And then the Kshatriya class became weak and the Mughals were able to invade. It's a long history. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he advented in Bengal during Muslim rule and taught the Yuga Dharma of chanting Hare Krishna. So, who takes to that is fortunate. Lord Krishna comes to establish Dharma, but it's up to individuals to choose whether to accept it or not. He doesn't force anyone. So he has come and asked us to chant Hare Krishna. Please take it. As you said, people come in contact with true spiritual people like ISKCON because of their pious activities in many previous lives. People came and a few continued, few left. What is your opinion about those people who come in contact and later go away? Why does it happen? Srila Prabhupada says that those who do not take to Krishna consciousness, they are unfortunate. Those who do take to Krishna consciousness, they are fortunate. Those who take to Krishna consciousness and again go away, they are more unfortunate. Why does it happen? Because everyone has independence to choose or not to. To choose to serve Krishna or not to serve Krishna. That independence continues. Why did they go away? Because they have the choice and they misuse it. That's all. If we think, why should I bother all this? I can just go on with life enjoying sense gratification. There are various reasons for downfall, but the basic reason is misuse of our independence. Is it better to cheat if it is for the welfare of others? Yeah, there's a kind of, sometimes that is required, to cheat people for their own welfare. Beneficial cheating. The mother brings a sweet and tells the child, open your mouth. Child opens his mouth and with the other hand she throws in the bitter medicine. Cheating. But that cheating is because the child is a rascal. And if you tell him this medicine is good for you, he will refuse to take it. So therefore it is required to cheat him for his own benefit. So sometimes, just like Lord Buddha, he cheated the people by telling that the Vedas, we don't accept the Vedas. But he did that for a specific purpose at a specific time, to stop animal slaughter in the name of the Vedas. So, Hare Krishna. Yeah, so, we'll chant Hare Krishna and be happy. We've talked a lot this evening about cheating. Cheating at the very subtle
level. So we are trying to awaken people to the intelligence of understanding what is genuine and what is cheating at the level of the soul. So to understand that, it may not be very easy all at once. It requires looking into things very deeply, not accepting things simply on the surface, just like a reflection. If you accept it on the surface, you may take it as reality. We have to go beyond two-dimensional thinking and come to three-dimensional. Or we have to go beyond the material dimension to the spiritual dimension. So what we've said this evening, please consider it, think about it, study Srila Prabhupada's books, and try to understand sincerely and with your intelligence what is reality and what is counterfeit. Don't, even what we're saying, you don't have to accept just because we're saying it. You apply your intelligence. Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita addressing the questions of Arjuna, satisfying him intelligently. Krishna could have just told Arjuna, "Listen, Arjuna, I'm God, do what I say." But he didn't say that. He explained to Arjuna how he is God, how Krishna is God, why he should be served, and in this way convinced Arjuna to perform his duty of fighting for Krishna's pleasure. So, please try to understand this. It's not understandable simply by exercise of brain power. One also has to pray to Krishna, be sincere to understand Krishna, and chant Hare Krishna. But we invite you to understand these points intelligently. Don't take it sentimentally. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for patiently listening. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So reality is dancing. Reality is dancing. Now we're talking about what is real. So reality is dancing. This statement can be taken into... The ultimate reality is to dance. Krishna is dancing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing. Dancing with Krishna. So the highest reality for the jiva is to assist Krishna in his pleasure pastimes of dancing. Another way of understanding, reality is dancing. Reality is Krishna. Krishna is dancing. So reality is dancing.